Okay, thank you. I'm going to call the House Subcommittee of the Select Committee on Legislative Ethics to order. I'd like to welcome the committee members. I'd also like to welcome for his first attendance at the meeting, which is Jerry Macbeth. And thank you so much for joining the committee and appearing today. So the time is 10:01. Today's date is November 18th, 2002. We are recording. I'm going to ask Jerry to take roll.
Representative Sarah Hannon.
Present.
Representative Galena Johnson.
Here.
Member Connor Thomas.
Here.
Member Joyce Anderson.
Here.
I note that Member Skip Cook, Member Jeff Manser, Member P. Holmes all have indicated that they're going to be absent from this meeting. We do have alternate member Jared Macbeth.
Here.
With that, we have a quorum to conduct business.
Thank you. I would ask if anyone's online for the meeting. We did hear that Representative Johnson is online. Anyone else?
Yeah, this is Senator David Wilson.
Okay, thank you, Senator Wilson. I'd also like to point out for those of you that are in the room and anyone on the phone is that also in the meeting are Jackie Hagel, the administrative assistant, who is recording, helping record this, Jerry Anderson, who is the administrator for the committee. As all of you know who have participated in these meetings before, it's helpful if you would identify yourself each time that you speak so that the people that are on the teleconference, if there are any, can identify who you are. I'm guilty of not doing that. However, it is helpful. You could try to remember to identify yourself when you speak. The meeting is expected to last approximately 2 hours. A large portion of that will likely be in executive session. So I'd ask at this time for a motion to approve the agenda.
I move that we approve the agenda as published.
Okay. Any objections to that? Hearing none, the agenda is approved. Now is the time for public comment. If there are any, there does not appear to be anybody in the room at this time.
I do have public.
Excuse me.
Comment. I could just ask for a quick.
I'm sorry. If you let me finish, then I'll get to that. I was going to say there's nobody in this particular room that appears that wants to make comment. And if there's anybody online, if you would identify yourself. And now would be the time. Public comments are generally limited to 3 minutes. So I'm sorry if you want to identify yourself and then move forward.
Hi, this is Senator David Wilson for public comment for the Ethics Committee. Committee members, Chairman Thompson, it's a little hard to hear on phone and trying to rush in the ballot.
Oh, were you just on the, were you the one that was on? Okay, I'm sorry.
And I apologize for my tardiness for this meeting. The last Ethics Committee Joint Committee meeting at the end, it was made mention about the additional funding that the committee would need to spend for an ongoing investigation for the House. And at that time, just had me thinking about sort of the unresponsive legislators, but more so the unresponsive staff. And if the Ethics Committee and committee rules apply to legislators and staff, I find it a little disconcerting that we just allow staff to be unresponsive to the committee. And I would just urge the committee, if they're still unresponsive, to take action. And that action could be anywhere from disciplinary actions to the presiding officer of that body. And my recommendation would be termination. I mean, otherwise, I can see this continuing on to be a committee where it's just all bark and no teeth. And that concerns me that no one would take this committee seriously. And I take my duty seriously when I serve on this committee. And I respect this committee and all the work that they have to do. And I just feel that we should also, honestly, if they don't show up, you should be proven guilty. I mean, we shouldn't have to spend additional $12,500 for non-responsive legislators and legislative staff. I just feel that's just irresponsible of those members, and they don't take their oath of office and duties to the legislature seriously. And so that was my public comments, and I thank you for your time.
Okay, well, thank you, and thank you for coming in. I'm sorry I did not recognize you a minute ago when you were on the phone.
And I also do know Rep. Johnson's online. I wish she was rushing in, too.
Yeah, she had indicated that she was, so thank you. Any other public comments?
Yes, my name is Patrick Martin. I'd like to make public comment, please.
Certainly, and as indicated, generally public comments are limited to approximately 3 minutes, so go ahead.
Very good, thank you. I visited the Capitol back on April 14th and 15th to deliver 5,000 petitions calling on the Alaska legislature to prohibit the use of taxpayer money to pay for abortions in the state of Alaska. And because Representatives Eastman and Kirka work closely together to protect babies from being murdered, I wanted a group photo with them and the petitions that I brought to the Capitol, but the unpredictable schedule of floor and committee sessions prevented a brief visit and forced me to wait extended times to get the two representatives and their staff together for the photos I wanted. My meeting requests were also delayed repeatedly as the two representatives' attention was directed to other work and meetings in the Capitol. So we spent way more time than we ever wanted to spend there. I imagine you all understand that. And aside from Representative Eastman and Kirka, I interacted with several House and Senate offices, almost all of which were positive and cordial interactions, even though most of the offices that I visited are on the opposite side of my issue. However, Senator Hughes and Representative McCabe's offices were especially hostile. Now, Representative McCabe represents the district in which I live, and I visited his office to deliver a book and remind him that pro-life Republicans should never vote or caucus with the abortion lobby, as he seems to be doing more and more of. His staffer was curt and tense, and refused to accept the book and refused to take the message that I asked her to take on my behalf. My visit to Senator Hughes' office resulted in Buddy Witt practically shouting me out of the office, and because I would not remove my petitions from Senator Hughes' office, Buddy actually called security in an attempt to intimidate me into surrendering my right to petition my government. Having left my petitions for Senator Hughes, Buddy Witt actually followed me into the hallway to further harass and intimidate me, and strangely, it seems he realized his mistake, invited me into his office for a private conversation that lasted 30 minutes. But his staffers, Senator Hughes' staffers, actually continued their harassment and intimidation by calling security and accusing me of carrying a gun into the Capitol. Now, obviously, I wasn't carrying a gun into the Capitol. A pro-life activist doesn't do things like that. Okay. And the Capitol security officer that was involved actually proved that I wasn't carrying a firearm into the Capitol. But the fact that that Capitol security officer remained outside Senator Hughes' office for the duration of that 30-minute conversation before they confronted me for supposedly carrying a gun in the Capitol was evidence that the accusation was nothing but an attempt to harass and intimidate an Alaskan who was in the Capitol to petition his government. I got to tell you, this ethics complaint against Eastman and Kirka seems about as credible as that weapons accusation. They're all politically motivated attempts to harass and intimidate and ultimately silence a citizen activist, me, and any elected representatives that are willing to take a hard stand against killing Alaskan babies with taxpayer money. So when we look at this, I just got to ask you, the members of the committee, if you've not actually taken a serious look at the accusations and the smears against myself, a private citizen, and against Representatives Eastman and Kirka, and also the baseless, false accusations of using government resources for my political purposes, which are false, but also completely unprovable. I just got asked, why are we even doing this? It's a baseless complaint. It's a smeared campaign against me, against Alaska Right to Life, Eastman, and Kirka. And that is so patently obvious. It just seems like that maybe you guys just haven't actually looked at the complaint and the accusations listed in it. So I don't know who brought the complaint. But based on my visit to the Capitol, it seems that either Representative McCabe or Senator Hughes or their staff members seem to have taken a very, very, very politically motivated stance against me, again, a private citizen, against Alaska Right to Life, a simple pro-life activist group, and the representatives that we work with. And if you guys want to carry out the hearing and the investigation and invite me to testify in your hearings, that's fine. It's not going to go well. So thank you for taking my testimony today. And I would encourage you to really take a look at the accusations, the complaint, and the political nature that's buried in them. And, this accusation and this hearing should just not even see the light of day. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Martin. I would comment that your statements are not testimony. They're just simply that, comments. So.
Very good. Thank you.
Mr. Martin, this is Jerry Macbeth. I wonder if I might ask you a question. You referred to yourself several times as a private citizen. Yet you also acknowledge that you head an organization called Alaska Right to Life, which is a public advocacy organization. So is it not possible that people might characterize you as an advocate for in a public setting for your beliefs, which is your constitutional right?
Yes, sir. I'm not following the question.
Well, the question is, you called yourself a private citizen, but you represent Alaska Right to Life, which is a public advocacy. So does not your work also incorporate public advocacy of positions?
It does. It does. But also when my name is thrown out either in accusations or on the House floor in very derogative terms, it's not just the Alaska Right to Life organization and its advocacy, but me as a private citizen being named like I have been in the legislative session seems very, very, very unseemly.
Thank you, Mr. Martin.
Thank you again, Mr. Martin. Are there any other additional public comments? Okay. Hearing none, we'll move on.
I have a public comment.
I'm sorry, and could you identify yourself, please?
Yes, Representative David Eastman.
Okay, and once again, you have a three-minute time limit, so go ahead.
Well, thank you. You know, I would encourage every member of the committee to review the authorities that the committee has, particularly the statutes, which give the committee the ability to exist and the duties that the committee has, and particularly dealing with confidentiality. As I review those statutes and my attorney has reviewed those statutes, it does not appear to us at all, nor was it the case when I served on the committee, that the committee has discretion to waive or not waive confidentiality. When the subject of complaint has formally waived confidentiality, I don't see anywhere in statute where the committee then gets to have some discretion on whether or not they're going to actually grant that waiver of confidentiality. At that point, once the subject has waived his rights to privacy and confidentiality and has asked for the relevant documents and the relevant case to be made public, the public should have access to that information immediately. Myself, as a complaint recipient several months ago, waived confidentiality, and yet, by and large, what I see from the committee is continuing to act as though that confidentiality had not been waived, as though it was a normal case proceeding under confidential rules. Now, those rules were, by statute, designed to protect the person who has received the complaint, which in this case would be me, and yet now what I am seeing is that confidentiality is actually being used against me, the recipient of that complaint. So please review those rules. Please discuss with counsel what it is that a complaint recipient is entitled to when it comes to transparency to the public, to myself, to the relevant documents, because I am still seeing a desire for executive sessions and confidentiality and not allowing the public to see the relevant documents, which the statute is pretty clear the public is entitled to see. That's all I have. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Any additional public comments? Hearing none, we'll move on to the next section of the agenda, which is labeled, it's really complaints and executive session. I will remind people that attendance at executive session will be limited to members of the committee and essential personnel as determined by the committee. In cases of discussions, investigation, data gathering, interviews, deliberations, or decision-making on complaints prior to probable cause determination, neither the subject of the complaint nor any other legislator not on the appropriate subcommittee will be allowed at the executive session. There are two complaints that will be taken up later today. There are complaints H2201 and H2202 in executive session in accordance with the rules of procedure of the committee. Both of these complaints had a waiver of confidentiality filed by the respective subject of the complaint. We therefore offer the following brief summary of the complaints. A. H2201 has Representative Chris Curta as the subject of the complaint. It contains allegations that the representative allegedly violated AS2460-0102 and AS2460-0308-2 by allowing a person to use state resources for a private benefit. H2202 has concerns Representative David Eastman as the subject of the complaint. It contains allegations that the representative allegedly violated AS2460-0102, AS2460-0308-2 by allowing a person to use state resources for a private benefit. The House subcommittee met on each of these complaints and issued a scope of investigation. An investigative report has been prepared in each of these cases, and the subcommittee is now prepared, may be prepared, to go into executive session to further consider and deliberate on each of these complaints. So at this time, I will entertain a motion to go into executive session to discuss matters which by law must remain confidential under AS2460-160, Uniform Rule 22B regarding executive sessions, and Rules of Procedure, Section 5. Executive sessions and discussion of matters the immediate knowledge of would adversely affect the finances of a governmental unit, discussion of subjects that tend to prejudice the reputation and character of a person. So at this time, I would entertain a motion from a member of the committee to go into executive session.
Joyce Anderson, I so move.
Objections? Hearing none. The committee will move on into executive session. I'm going to ask Jackie to take a short at ease, as they say. Jackie to put up signs on the door and ask any members of the public to leave the conference room. Okay. We're back in public session, just returned from executive session. And the time is 11:55. We're going to announce the partial, some portion of the decision that were made regarding the complaints in light of the fact that confidentiality has been waived. A decision and complaint number H2201, Representative Curta, by a majority of the House subcommittee members have approved additional investigation at this stage. Secondly, with respect to complaint number H2202, Representative Eastman, by a majority of the House subcommittee members have voted to move forward with additional investigation at this stage. So that will be happening with a future hearing date to be set, depending on the outcome of the additional investigation. Next item on the agenda is next meeting, and I think Jerry wants to address that. So if you want to tell us where we are with the next meeting, Jerry.
We have ethics training set for Juneau on January 18th. And so if we combine that up with the meeting, we may be looking at January 19th as the next meeting for the committee. And so unless there's an objection to that, I'm going to try and hook that up with the ethics training that we'll be conducting on the 18th, parts of that being conducted by NCSL members.
Okay. Anybody have any thoughts on the meeting date? Do you want to schedule that now? Is that the hope?
Well, obviously I'm looking to leadership of the legislature to, one, with both the ethics and also accommodate the schedule for new legislative members.
Okay, so that be, so that answer is that it's premature to actually schedule?
I believe that, but at least if we note that, we can discuss that with leadership and see if whether that's going to be a problem.
So it sounds like the really it's a tentative date, dates January 18th, 19th, right after the start of session of 2023, correct?
Correct.
Anything else under other business that you have?
Mr. Chair, do we need a motion?
Well, we're not going to set a date.
I meant back to executive session for additional funds.
Oh, maybe we do need some. Yeah, in public session, you're right. I've forgotten. And so do you want to make the motion?
Mr. Chair, I make a motion that due to the continuing investigation of the two complaints that were mentioned earlier by the chair, that we ask for an additional $15,000 to add to our budget that we will need to conduct the additional investigation that we don't have right now.
Okay. Thank you for reminding me of that. Are there any additions to the motion or comments? Hearing none. Jerry, if you want to call the roll.
Member Joyce Anderson.
Yes.
Member Gerald McBeth.
Yes.
Member Connor Thomas.
Yes.
Representative Elena Johnson.
Yes.
Representative Sarah Hannon.
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0 on that additional funding for investigation.
Okay. Thank you. Any other business before the committee of tentative date and just seeing it. Yeah, how about that?
Thanksgiving to everyone.
All right. Happy Thanksgiving. All right, I now entertain a motion to adjourn. Okay. Without objection, the meeting's adjourned at 12 o'clock on November 18th, 2022. Thank you all so much for your participation and appearance at the meeting. Turn.